Thank you for downloading this podcast from Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. For more podcasts and more information on your number one news and talk station, please visit 702.co.za or capetalk.co.za.
Reedy DiRocco.
9 minutes past 10 o'clock into the second hour of the show. Let me just say, we're going to have our green tip after this. We're very privileged this morning to have a world leader in career guidance. And I think this is a very important conversation to have at this time. People are losing their jobs, or perhaps you are at varsity, you are at high school, you don't know which career path to follow. So what we're going to do is at 5 to 11, we're going to chat to Simon about South Africa's first domestically designed electric car. We're going to have our green tip, but right now, world leading authority in career counseling, encouraging students to create their own careers rather than discover them. The goal, of course, is to fit work into our lives rather than fit ourselves to job. Let me tell you a bit about Professor Savickas. He's receiving his honorary doctorate, by the way, at 2 o'clock this afternoon at the University of Pretoria. He is a professor and chair in the Behavioral Science Department at the Northeastern Ohio University's College of Medicine, and Professor of Counselor Education at Kent State University. He's president of the Counseling Psychology Division at the International Association for Applied Psychology. He has published widely in the field, including the Handbook of Career Counseling, and his most recent work has focused on the theory of career construction. Whew! A very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for letting me join you today.
Thank you. It's very nice to have you. And congratulations on the honorary doctorate that you're receiving in, 4 hours' time?
Yes, I'm a little nervous about that.
Nervous? I thought you were getting all these accolades all the time, and you're getting all this honor for the work that you're doing. You should be used to it by now.
Yes. One of the important things we talk about in counseling is to focus on what we're doing rather than how we're doing. Mm-hmm. And this is when we get nervous, is when somebody says you're doing well, because it breaks our concentration on what we're doing. Mm. So I try always to keep my mind on what comes next.
Wonderful. So we're talking about careers this morning. How do we know we're doing the right thing?
We must listen to ourselves. We must listen to our heart. We must find our passion, our mission. Our life is a project, and there isn't a right thing. There's a useful thing. There's a personal truth that is important to express. And if we can't do it for pay and it's part of a job, then we must do it in leisure time on weekends. Each of us has a destiny.
Mm-hmm. Very often people choose a career based on the fact that you want to make a living, you want to earn a living, you want to make money, and work is that place that is divorced from the actual person.
Yes, and that causes a great deal of stress, a great deal of tension, a great deal of problem. We talk about two main categories for choosing a career. One is the extrinsic that you just mentioned, where we look for work that has pay, power, and prestige. Mm. The other is work that implements our self-concept, that lets us be who we truly are. And what we know from years of experience and research, that money, power, prestige cannot make you happy. The absence of those can make you unhappy. But they don't have the power to make you happy. Money is like oxygen. If you have it, you still must do something to be happy. If you don't have it, you're miserable. Does it make sense what I say?
It makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. So money cannot make you happy, but the absence thereof can
make you very unhappy. So if you have a great deal of money, you still, to be happy, must be you. You must do something that has deep meaning to you, because power, prestige, status is how you are doing, not what you are doing.
Prof,
we call that the failure of success. The failure of success, to be very successful, to be focused only on external things and have no one to share it with, to not have time with your family and friends, it becomes a very hollow victory.
Hmm. What about people who choose a career based on the fact that they're good at it. For example, you find someone not liking what they're doing, but because they've been told over and over again that you're a good speaker, or you're good in maths, or you're good at science, that's what you should be doing.
Yes, we see that very often in the high school students, though. They'll be very good at science, and the teachers will say, you should be a scientist. And we find that when people do that, they pursue it for 10, 15, 20 years, but those are the people at midlife who have the crisis of confidence, who have the feeling, is that all there is? And those are usually the adults we talk to who want to change careers because they're good at it, but it's not them.
Mm-hmm. And this whole concept, Prof, of fitting work into our lives rather than fit ourselves to jobs, tell us about that.
Yes, in the 20th century, the industrial age, the machine age, in the beginning of the 1900s, people were looked at as human resources and were matched to machines. Where did you fit in the world of work? How could the world of work use you? Now, at the dawn of the 21st century, we have moved beyond the machine age to the information age, the knowledge society. This radio show is part of the information knowledge age. And there is no longer matching people to machines. And we're more interested now in how you can use work to become more whole, more complete, more joyful about your life, rather than letting work use you and exploit you and just replace you when you're broken down.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, very often you find people waking up in the morning, you don't want to go to that place because you feel as if you're fulfilling some sort of duty as opposed to being yourself.
Yes, and it's an obligation, and we are realistic, and sometimes people must do things that is not what they want to do for the sake of their family and for sake. It is an obligation for many, many people. And so those are the people we talk with about leisure counseling. If you must do something that is not you for realistic, practical reasons, it can damage your soul. And you can go home at night and just watch TV and drink a beer and lay on the sofa all weekend. And what you must do instead is when you have leisure time, that's the time you're free to be yourself. And you must use that time to correct what I call cases of mistaken identity. If you're meant to be an actor and you must be something else for pay, maybe you can do little theater in the evening or do other things. So it's very important that we be realistic about opportunities, but work is a part of life. It isn't life. Life is work, friends, love, spirituality. And in this day and age, we each must design a life that matters to us.
I'm chatting this morning to Professor Mark Savickas, and he is a world-leading authority in career counseling. And we're trying to encourage students and all of you to create your own careers rather than discover them. You know, I suppose it's very difficult, Prof, for somebody who is living out their passion to look at others and say, how did they get there? How did you get to a point in the morning where you wake up to go to a place that you hate, doing something that you hate, which then begs the question, what sort of questions should we be asking ourselves in order to arrive at the kind of job that we should be having?
Yes, I love the way you state that. What kind of questions should we be asking ourselves? I believe strongly in our own life story. The big word is autobiographical reasoning, to use our life story as the tool to guide us in the future. And so I have a series of questions that I enjoy asking people.
Yes.
And the first one, if I can only ask one question, I ask, when you were a little girl, 5, 6, 7, 8, who did you admire? Who was your heroine? Who did you look up to?
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to tell me?
I am. Well, at that point, it was my mother, and she was a nurse, and I thought I was going to be a nurse at 6 or 8. But as I grew older, around 10 and 11, that changed.
Yes. Outside the family, other than mother, who did you admire? From movies, from books, from the neighborhood, In addition to Mother, who else, Reedy?
I actually admired Brenda Fassie, not because of her singing. She was a popular singer. She passed away in 2004. Not because of the singing, but because of her personality. She was a very, outgoing person, very bold, spoke her mind, was very passionate, had a presence, and I admired that. She visited our township, our neighborhood, when I was a little girl, and I just liked the magnetism of her personality. So that's what it was for me.
Now, from my point of view, when we are born and we come home from the hospital and we're raised by the family gives us our values. I call Mother and Father guiding lines. They give us longitude and latitude, but they're not the choice we've made. They've made the choice to have you.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, your first career choice is who have you picked outside the family to model yourself after. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying the person that you just told me about was a blueprint that you used in designing you. And you are the architect of you. And your plan, can I say it back to you? Here is who you designed yourself to be. To have a strong, vibrant personality, outgoing, speak your mind, have a strong presence, and have a magnetism. And if that's not you, I don't know who it is.
But the most poignant point for me was the release of Nelson Mandela back in February 1990. It was drizzling on a Sunday afternoon, and there he was walking out of Victor Verster prison, and all these journalists were just mobbing him. They were shoving their cameras and their microphones in his face, and I was so jealous. I couldn't contain my excitement. I thought, I should be there. That's what I should be doing.
Yes. See, that's my second question. Is tell me an early story that defines who you are. Tell me an early recollection. The first story was a self-concept of how you designed you as a human being. When you tell me the story about Nelson Mandela, this is a script. This is how you will put that character that you designed on a stage. My other question that I like to ask is your favorite saying or motto. Do you have a saying you use all the time?
Yes. It's one that I got from a book called The Power of One.
Yes.
It says, in each of us, there's a flame that should never be allowed to die. And as long as it burns within us, we can never be destroyed. I love it.
Yes. And to me, a favorite saying that a person has is the best advice they can give themselves right now. And so what you are saying is every day you wake up and your goal is to keep the flame alive, not only in you, but in everybody you interact with. And that is your therapy to yourself. So when you ask, how do we know what is our personal truth? What are we meant to be? This is what I ask you to do, is listen to you. And you just in 3 minutes have told me the character that you are, the story that you're living, and the advice that you give yourself. It's a beautiful, beautiful novel. And this is how I view each human being, is a story in progress.
I'm feeling quite challenged this morning. You know, all the conversations I've had about jobs and what we do have not even come close to this. And I'm getting a sense that we should actually be having different conversations at schools and in our families when it comes to ourselves as human beings and the work, what we wake up to do in the morning.
Yes, yes. And I like your distinction between jobs and career. Career is not a job. Career is a path through life. It's a journey. And every human being has a career made up of many different jobs. And the jobs have to fit together with some sense of continuity and coherence to give us identity. So career is a meaning-making thought. It's a thought a person has about themselves as a working person.
Do we have, Prof, the luxury today in 2009, do we have the luxury to choose in this day and age with all the crises going on, the problems of unemployment, socioeconomic challenges?
Yes, that is a very, very crucial point. In the 20th century, it was somewhat easier to find work and to find jobs. And for many, many people in most countries around the world, our personal identity was given to us by our job. when you met a person, you wanted to know, what do you do for a living? So you could figure out who they were. So the most important role for many people in the 20th century was the work role. Today, it is very difficult to invest too much of your life in a job, because the jobs come and go, there's crises, there's not pension, there's not health care. And so many, many people around the world are turning to family, community, and friends to be the most important role in their life, and making work a secondary role. So there's, I believe, a shift happening that work no longer can give us what it used to give us, and we are returning to family, friendship, and community as our core role. So rather than saying, what do you do for a living, I might ask, who are your friends?
Let's take a break.
You're listening to Reedy DiRecco.
We're talking about career construction today with Professor Mark Savickas. What's that about? Well, the goal to fit work into our lives rather than fit ourselves to jobs. And we will be taking your calls in just a few minutes. But Prof, during the ad break, we were speaking about the program, television program Friends. What's that got to do with our careers?
Yes, right before the break, we were talking about friends, family, community being center stage in the 21st century. And one of the ways society teaches us lessons is through media, through movies, through television shows. And Friends is a popular show all throughout the English-speaking world, and it has a strong career message. First of all, it has six different characters, and each character represents a unique career type. So we could ask you, which of the characters are you most like? The Jennifer Aniston character is the social, friendly, helpful person. Phoebe, the smelly little cat singer, is the artistic. And Ross is the scientist. And Chandler's the business person. And Monica is the organized accountant, everything. And so it teaches us about that. But more importantly, it's about friendship being the center of their life. As you watch the show, work is de-emphasized. What they do for a living is not what they do for a life. And what the show is trying to teach people is that, especially in our 20s, the age of emerging adulthood, that we should look to friendship and community as the support for who we are, and realize that work can be problematic, it can be difficult, unemployment can be high, but friends are always there.
All right, if you are not sure what career to pursue, if your heart tells you one thing but logic tells you another, and everyone you speak to has a different opinion, making you even more and more confused, then phone us right now. You're not going to get this opportunity again. Phone us right now and get the best advice available from the world, one of the world's number one experts in the field of career counseling. I'm talking about Professor Mark Savickas. Our telephone number, if you are in Cape Town, 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. I'm taking your SMSs on 31702 and 315-567. Prof, I want to go back to that SMS from Alvain. I had 7 distinctions in matric, yet thanks to a career counselor telling me I could do anything I wanted to, my real strengths were never revealed, and I'm still battling to uncover my career passion 20 years later. That is from Alvain.
Yes, to tell a person you can do anything you want is the same as to say you can do nothing. It gives us no feedback. Each of us is a unique one of a kind. There's only one of us in the world. And there are things that we are meant to do and have rehearsed since we were young. And it's a shame that somebody said you have the talents to do anything you want, but didn't explore the values, the dreams, the meanings. And at midlife, remember earlier we were talking about people who go do things based on just ability or external things at midlife, 20 years later, have a crisis. This is the story you're just reading to me. It's not too late to re-examine, renew, and redirect It's not too late.
I wonder though, Prof, how do we fit this into the school process? I mean, you've got career guidance at school. Is there time to just delve deeper? I mean, you've asked me questions about my lifestyle, my beliefs, and who I am. Can the school system, as it were, accommodate that kind of career counseling?
Yes. It took minutes. It only took minutes. The school system that we have throughout the world was designed to prepare people to work on the assembly line. That's why we sit in straight rows, we have breaks, we have bells, and it was designed to prepare people for a world that doesn't hardly exist anymore. And we need some new looks at education where we have more open classrooms, classrooms that prepare people for the world we live in today, not for the world our parents lived in.
And lots of SMS is saying, Reedy, please make this conversation available as a podcast. I promise you, you can get it on our website after 12 o'clock. Give us some time to put it together. By popular demand, we're going to podcast this conversation. But let's go to John. John, you are calling us from Belleville. And Prof, if I can ask you to please put your headphones on so we can hear what John has to say. John, hi.
Hi, good day, Reedy. Reedy, thank you for a very nice show.
Thank you.
I'm really enjoying, you know, this show that you are hosting right now with the Prophet. However, I have a question, you know. What kind of advice can you give someone that became an attorney and all of a sudden, after 4 years of being a practicing attorney that he or she really wanted to become, you know, have struggling with this identity issue in terms of who am I, you know? What do I really want in life? For instance, do I like diamonds or don't I like diamonds? You know, do I like a blue pot or a black pot? You know, how do you discard that identity in yourself?
Yes, identity is the most important word today. In the 20th century, it was personality. As an attorney, you still have opportunities to do many, many, many different things, and the identity is the story of your life. What we want to know from you is to have you say out loud who you are, what you like, what you admire, and then listen to yourself. I don't like the word advice. My job is to help you hear you. Is it familiar, Sherlock Holmes stories familiar to you, Reedy? Or
yes.
In career counseling, the client is Sherlock Holmes. The client is the brilliant investigator. The counselor is Watson, who is bumbling around saying, brilliant, how did you do that? How did you figure out? What does it mean? So, for example, John, we might ask you, what is your all-time favorite story, whether a book or a movie? What is the favorite story that you have? Are you willing to share with us, John?
Well, yeah, I like, you know, there was a drama called L.A. Law, you know.
Oh, yes.
And I really enjoyed, you know, the actors, you know, as with these attorneys and how they presented themselves and acted in court, etc., you know. Me, you know, it actually made me want to become an attorney. But now, I mean, I found out that, well, you know, I really want to become an actor.
Yeah.
I'm basically confused.
Yes, John, but see, you didn't answer my question. When you said L.A. Law, that's an interest. You were interested in this television show and what they were doing. What is your all-time favorite book or movie? What is the story that you like the best? If you were on a desert island, what one book or DVD would you take?
Wow, I haven't thought about that.
Well,
I haven't really thought about that.
Well, that's just a start. No,
just
off the top of your head, just make something up now.
Well, I just like being the center of attraction, being a bubbly person. you know that's mostly and then of course you know, just enjoying life.
Yes, but see, identity is the story of you, and I'm asking what script are you following in your heart? See, each of us has a favorite story that means more to us than any other story.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say, I don't know, I can't say, I'm not sure, this is what we would spend more time, give you more time to think about it, because it's very important to me to know what's inside you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good luck, John. Start identifying those things that you are passionate about and those stories, because they reveal a lot about who we are, isn't it,
Prof? Yes, Reedy, what's your all-time favorite story? You can say pass. You don't have to tell us.
No, I've got so many. I'm trying to think of the one that stands out. I'll answer the question in just a few minutes. Let me just apply my mind to it.
For example, I was talking yesterday to a young man, and I said, "What is your favorite story?" And he says, "Dune," and it's a science fiction story, but I don't know the story, and so I ask him, tell me the story. And he says it's about a young boy raised by rich, successful parents to be the perfect son, to grow up, to inherit the family, and to be the monarchy, to rule the community. And he doesn't want to do this, and he decides to go off into the desert to find other people like himself, become a man, become a leader, and come back and overthrow the monarchy. Now, this is his true dream. He wants to move to the big city. He wants to come back. He loves his parents. He loves his family. And his problem right today is he needs more courage to go to the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And what the career counselor does is try to build courage. Courage comes from the French coeurs, the heart. If we do a good job in listening to a person, their heart beats faster and stronger, and we encourage them to do what they are.
Prof, I'm laughing because my best friend has just sent me an email.
Yes.
And it's exactly what I was thinking about right now. My favorite story, a book called The Power of One, or Tandia. And she's just sent it. You will say, Tandia or The Power of One. I think that is your favorite story. It is about the triumph of that quote that I shared with you is from one of the books. It's a triumph of the human spirit, a young person taking on the world. And that's that kind of story.
Yes, so, and some people may call you a radio talk show host. I call you a leader of young people, an encourager of people to take on the world, to keep the flame going. This week you happen to be doing it on the radio. Next week I don't know where you might be doing it. But till the day you die, this is what you do, because this is who you are.
Thank you. Milufi in Omonde, thanks for your patience. Good morning to you.
Hi, Reedy. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Thanks for the great show.
Mm.
I just want to ask the prof, you know, from high school I was a person that liked, you know, to work with people and community and stuff like that. So now through careers and currently I'm in the IT industry, and now I just find myself not getting that satisfaction or that feeling that I'm not helping enough, because, you know, in IT, just in front of the computer the whole day, and I'm trying to study further my career in IT, but still I don't have that fulfillment, you know. So I don't know if...
But IT provides realistic support for you and your family and income, and it becomes an anchor in your life. And it may be difficult to switch careers to a helping profession, although some people go back to school and move into a helping profession. But I'm asking you, what do you do evenings and weekends where you are free to help people, to volunteer, to communicate, to encourage?
I hardly do that now, because now I'm just studying all the way. You know, my studies are just taking over my life.
Yes.
So it's quite hard for me to actually even interact with people, because if I do that, then I fall behind, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I, as you said, my studies are taking over my life. I heard the sigh. You had a sigh, and the sigh tells us of the sadness and how you feel a little disconnected from who you are and what you value.
Yeah.
And you're doing what many people do. They take some period of life to study and prepare for the future, and during that preparation time, they ignore the self.
Mm.
And that's the danger. It's, every day you should be doing something for yourself, because you could wake up 5 years from now and be very, very successful, but not feel like you enjoyed your life.
All right, Milufi, thank you very much for calling us. Andrew and Nono, please stay on the line. I do want to chat to you right after this.
SMS Reedy Direko now.
Let's go straight to the lines, and we go to Nono in Midrand. Hi.
Hi, Rudy, how are you?
Fine, fine.
I really appreciate your talk this morning.
Thank you.
In fact, it's been long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do I go ahead explain it?
Yes, please. No, please.
Yeah, you know, I've been for a very long time trying to wonder as to what kind of a career I should head for, you know, something that will benefit me at the end of the day. And, you know, sometimes I get worried about my age as to whether I'll start studying this and you find that it won't benefit me at the end of the day. So it's a bit difficult for me to identify that.
When you say benefit, in what sense? Emotionally, financially?
No, financially, mostly. Well, I think at the same time emotionally, but it's mostly financially.
So you say that for a long time you've been trying to think of the right career. How about the questions we were asking earlier? When you were a very young girl, 5, 6, 7, 8, who did you admire?
That's a long time. It's a bit difficult. That I really cannot answer right now.
Okay. How about, what is the earliest recollection you have? What is the first story about your life you can tell us?
Basically, I think from as far as I can remember, I've always had passion about money, business, you know, doing something for money and obviously for self-fulfillment.
Yes, but tell us a story about you. What's the first story of your whole life? What do you remember, the first thing you remember?
No, that's a bit that's a tough question.
Tough question.
Yeah.
Well, we have to encourage you to try, because for us to know you, we must hear your story. We must hear you say out loud. We must help you reveal your secret to us. And for you to be more certain, we have to know the story. Money, when I hear you talk about money, what I hear is money as a metaphor. Money meaning I'll be more secure, I'll be more safe, I'll be more happy. And it's a director path to be more you, to have you blossom more, become more whole, become more complete. And we need stories. Mm-hmm. Without hearing you narrate who you are,
it's difficult to identify what your passion is.
So does anything come to mind, any story?
The caller is gone,
okay.
I'm afraid. But Prof, just, I can just hear or see a young person reading newspapers in South Africa today, and they're told over and over again that what the economy needs right now are people who are competent in maths and science, and that's not who you are, that's not who you want to be. There's a lot of emphasis on that. How do we get a balance between where we're going to find jobs and what we actually want to do?
Yes, that's the problem of the realistic compromise, that sometimes we're required by reality to do what society has as an opportunity. And that's why I'm saying work is not you, that there is life beyond work, and there is a reality to the social opportunity structure. What is available, that we must always have common sense and help young people realize, but also to realize that their life is not over if they do something that is not identical with their dream.
Tandi in Douglasdale, hi.
That's why it's called work.
Hi, Tandi.
Hi, Rudy. Okay, here's my question to the professor. I just want to know about the role of the organizational culture in terms of fulfilling one's potential and really being able to do what you do best and being the best that you are.
Yes, that is revolutionizing the world. In the 20th century, the word career only became important when there was hierarchical bureaucratic organizations. Career meant your path through the organization. In the 21st century, the corporations that ruled the world are falling apart. The big steel companies, the car companies, the big corporations that would take care of you for life, would hold you, would bound you. In current organizational literature, we talk about boundaryless careers. We talk about the idea of a job for many years disappearing, that we will now have assignments and projects. In the United States, the typical job lasts 18 months. By age 35, a person has had 10 projects. And so around the world, we talk about insecure workers who are temporary, contingent, freelance, and organizations are no longer holding us or taking care of us like they used to. And this is why identity and knowing who you are and saying your story is more important than it has ever been before, because the thing that we have to hold us together today is our story. We can live within it, we can use it to feel safe in transitions, and we can identify an audience for the story. So your question about organizations is truly about the new social rearrangement of work.
Let's go to Margaret in Mitchell's Plain. Hi.
Good morning, lady. Good morning, Pro. Thank you for taking my call. I gave up a job in 25 years in 1999 because I had been urged to go and do voluntary work. I've been around, and I'm now since 2003 doing the same voluntary work. And I don't know, but it's a little bit like a passion for having to do and wanting to do what I want to do. It's a little bit not there anymore.
So continuing using my metaphor of your life as a novel, your life is a story. It sounds, if I understand correctly, that a chapter is ending and that you are getting ready to start a new chapter. But when you look at the chapter, it's a blank piece of paper and there's a little writer's block. And so what we would do is try and dig deeper into the earlier stories to see how you can continue to be you in a new, more elaborated, more complex way. You are at a period ready to change, ready to make a transformation and a transition to a newer, more complex, even better you.
Prof, before I let you go, I mean, I'm just thinking about South Africa and where we are, our young democracy. We need to build our economy and so on. Is there room for people like yourself to advise government? Government sets education policy. And if we don't get into these fundamental issues, then our education policy will continue to fall flat and not make the positive impact that it's supposed to make.
Yes, this is career counseling in the last 5 years all over the world has realized that we can no longer just sit in offices, sit in schools, and wait for people to come to us. So people like Professor Murray are very active in an international policy institute trying to work with countries to elaborate what we're talking about today. It must be done. The world is changing. There is I was told by a Professor Mark Watson that there is a South African saying, when the music changes, so must the dance. The music of the world of work has changed. We must change our dance.
Prof, I've really loved speaking to you. I'm very overwhelmed by what you have to say, and I know for a fact that it's had such a positive impact. The SMSs that we're getting, absolutely positive. And I think most importantly, just getting to the core of who we are and helping us answer those questions for ourselves. I really value that. Thank you.
And it's such a great pleasure to sit across from you and look into your encouraging smile. I feel inspired as I leave today.
And you must promise me, every time you're in South Africa, you'll come and talk to us.
It'd be my privilege.
Absolutely. And that's it. Professor Mark Savickas, Professor and Chair in Behavioral Sciences Department at the Northeastern Ohio University's College of Medicine. Long, long titles, and he's getting his honorary doctorate at 2 p.m. this afternoon. We're rooting for you, and thank you for making time to be with us today.